Good evening. Are you up all night tossing and turning, mind racing? Can't get to sleep? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Now, we do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. Podcast creates a safe place. We can put all those nasty little thoughtsies, as I like to call them, starting today, thoughtsies. We can put all those thoughts aside and just listen to the story. It's going to distract you. And as the story goes on, it's going to get a little bit more and more boring. And soon, you'll find yourself drifting off into sleep. That's the goal. If this is your first time here, welcome. Give it a try. See if it works for you. Doesn't, I'm sorry. I hope you find something else. If you can't sleep, I hope you find something else that helps you fall asleep. If you're just looking for something mind-numbing, but not for sleeping, maybe this will work too. I don't know. You can find us on the web at www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you have questions, you can email them to feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com or on Twitter at @DearestScooter. I think that's it. And then we got a couple pieces of housekeeping here. First up is Y Lizzle in New Zealand gave us a nice review on iTunes. And they unexpectedly stumbled upon the podcast, I think. Y Lizzle, let me know how you found the podcast. I'm just curious. Was it a friend or just a random stumble across? Also, I don't know if I already said this, but Y Lizzle's from New Zealand. Now, we got this international showdown going, but New Zealand, you want to talk about the international loyalty showdown? New Zealand, you guys won it by a long shot. Or courteous, international courtesy showdown. You guys, New Zealand, I'm crowning you international champs of courtesy. So thanks to you and the rest of New Zealand. Second piece of housekeeping, T-Dub Forever. Like the name, T-Dub, gave us a great review, and one of T-Dub's comments was, maybe one of the secrets of the podcast is the long pauses in between sentences, and that. Thank you for the review and the feedback. The funny thing, the reason I'm laughing, T-Dub, forever, is that I actually sometimes have to, that was a joke, that extra long pause, but I have to edit out extra long pauses, which I'm always like, man, is this... So I spend a fair amount of time fretting about my pauses. And I'm like, man, what? But I don't want to screw it up either, right? Right, T-Dub Forever? But thank you for your review. I appreciate it. If either one of you want to email me, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com, let me send you a little thank you, a little bonus episode. A couple Twitter thank yous to send out for recommending people. Dia, I believe, D-H-E-A-H, at The Blue Bug on Twitter, had nice things to say about the podcast, as did Red Mailbox, at Our Red Mailbox. Thank you both for, you know, that's the main way this podcast works, is you tell somebody, if the podcast works for you, let somebody else know. If you hate the podcast, shut the F up. Part of the reason I'm laughing, and man, I'm going to get sidetracked, but I'm going to try to do it. I got some feedback today about something other than the podcast. And this is how crazy, I'm putting this out there, not as a poor me type thing, but I'm just curious, in case, as an example, so that no one, well, I hope there's no one out there as crazy as me, but if you are, maybe you'll feel like you're not alone, which is one other theme of this podcast, is that you're not alone if you can't sleep at night. There's a lot of people out there who can't sleep. So I got this feedback on this piece of writing, and it was from people I didn't know. The feedback was pretty harsh. But that's my initial reaction. I'm actually reeling from it because I just read the feedback. But I'm like, man, isn't that the kind of feedback I wanted? Like, hard, constructive criticism, but it does have an emotional impact. And then I'm like, man, so I don't know. I guess maybe I'm feedbacking myself right now or criticizing myself. I'm like, man, I can't even get my criticism of my criticism of my reaction of criticism right. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to hear feedback or criticism. But a lot of times it's like the person's just trying to help. You don't know their intention. Right now I'm talking to myself as an aside. Point is, your podcast you're listening to is in the host of a podcast you're listening to is in the hands of a madman, which you already knew. But if any of you sting from criticism, even when it's said good-naturedly or in help, and this isn't like me subtly trying to talk about anybody this week. This was totally unrelated to the podcast. Sometimes it's not easy, but just like growing up's not easy either. Shit, jeez. So that's it. Thank you to everyone that gave feedback. If you have a chance to review and rate us on iTunes, that's great. If you even have a chance to subscribe in iTunes, do that. I don't know. Then iTunes will say, hey, maybe they'll recommend it to the next person. If you have any other feedback, harsh or not harsh, don't hesitate to give it to me, because I'm always looking to serve you guys better. And speaking of serving you better, two things. I messed up some storage this month issues, so I'm going to upgrade my storage plan so I won't have to worry about keeping every single episode at an average of 40 minutes. If we go to 42 minutes every episode, that's fine. And I know some of you like that longer episode, and I can understand that. If you're in bed and you can't sleep, you want reassurance, and that's something this podcast is supposed to provide you, and I'm trying. But also, I've been trying to, as I've started this podcast, I've been working on it, as I've been thinking of you guys, my loyal and wonderful listeners that can't sleep, I'm like, how are we going to bridge this gap? Obviously, I don't want you guys to start sleeping good and then abandon the podcast, but I don't want you all suffering, or any of you that are suffering that can't sleep. And I've been like, how are we going to get more hard how to get a good night's sleep info into this podcast? How am I going to fold it into this podcast? And I have a tiny little idea. I'm not going to share it with you now of how to do that. So it probably won't be upcoming in the next 2 weeks, but probably after that. So probably mid to late June, a little tiny something you might notice folded into the podcast. Not binaural beats or anything like that. That might be on the horizon, might not be. This is just like a way to help convey information to you in a fun way about how to get a better night's sleep. So pretty much just gave you no information other than I'm working on it, which, yeah. All right, well, let's get on to the show. We're back tonight with another episode of Get Besos, the tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny's escape from purgatory and return to Earth in a quest for vengeance against Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon.com, and the man they feel crushed their retail empires. Older episodes can be found at www.sleepwithmepodcast.com/getbesos, G-E-T-B-E-S-O-S, spelled B-E-S-O-S because it's a fictional person and character. When we last left off, there was like angels with flaming swords. RW was doing some, he wasn't in the episode, so he was kind of mad at me. James Cashpenny was in the episode trying to deal with these angels. He's using the buddy system in hell. And everything went to pot, I guess, or crap, or everything went awry at the end of the episode. So James Cashpenny was taken into custody, I believe. And everyone in hell kind of agreed to go work for Hans Zimmer Gorbelly. And I think Jif and Angela got away. That's where we left off. Let's get back to another episode that I say with a heavy heart because of the loss. This will be the last time I say that I'm sorry to Angela. I say I'm sorry to Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas because I don't want to beat a dead horse or whatever. Well, yeah, that's probably not the right metaphor for the end, my right saying for the end of a relationship. I don't want to harp on things. There you go. I wish I could have thought of that as a pun, because there's angels, but it wasn't a pun. Not even 100% sure what a pun is, but it would be like using harp and angel in a unique way on purpose. So that defeats any punning. The incidental punnist. Maybe that'll be my my nonfiction book that I would never write. Incidental punnist. But that could be like a punter. I got a good long story about me punting a football for someday. But yeah, let's get back to another episode. Forget Bezos. Hiya! All right, so when we open up tonight's episode, James Cashpenny is thrown inside a tent. One of those are like real nice tents. One of those real nice tents you might see at a luxury camping. You know, like it's almost like an octagon with linen and such that you might see. They had nice tents in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. So maybe the tent the guy that was conspiring with the Nazis, I can't think of his name right now, but I want to say Scolari, but I know it's not even close, but that scumbag. Well, actually, maybe it was. Well, anyway, let's not get sidetracked. Not getting sidetracked, but I went. There used to be this really good circus in San Francisco called, I don't remember, but they had a tent from, I think it might have been from Germany because it was called a Spiegel tent, I believe. And it was like a very fancy tent. I believe it like was only, talk about useless information. Beautiful tent from the inside. And I mean, from the outside, it looked like a regular kind of circus, small circus tent. The inside, it was like, it was gorgeous. The tent was gorgeous and the circus was really good. And of course, I don't remember the name of the circus. It was on the San Francisco waterfront for many years. It'll probably come to me at some point. Pricey, very expensive. I mean, in my opinion, but it included dinner. Maybe it wasn't, I don't know. It's either 50 or $100 or $150 a person, probably $150 a person, 50 with dinner. That's a great deal. I mean, with this quality of circus, too. And it had a story. Story would change. Singing. So it's kind of like a musical and a circus with a story. All the kind of stuff you'd think I'd love. I love circuses, by the way. No. Don't hold on, Freddie Sprague. Don't break in here and attack me. Not that circus. I'm talking about New Vaudevillian. And I don't even know if that's a term, but, you know, circuses with people, not poor elephants that don't want to be there, or seals that don't want to be there, or lions that don't want to be there. None of that. But you get a good story with a little bit of a dark theme to it. You wield, you know, wrap it around some performance and some illusion. You got me. Tell me when, tell me where. Tell me it costs less than $150. Sidetrack. Okay, back to the story. James Cash gets thrown in this tent. Nice tent we've established. This tent would not be big enough for a circus, but it's big enough for some devices. And there's some sort of shiny device in there and strapped to a metal seat with something on his head is RW. And I hate to do this to people, but RW looks terrible. He looks like he shed a lot of water weight, which, and he just looks like, I'd say RW is normally considered a husky person. Like, I don't even know if that's a proper, I don't know, I don't think it's a pejorative term, because I'm not saying it in a hurtful or discriminatory way. I'm just saying that's his body type, or was. But now, whatever this water weight whatever he's been going through, it's just taking its toll. His face, his eyes are more sunken than normal. And, I mean, his eyes were sunken to start with. I mean, this guy probably smoked way too many cigars, died at 50 of Bright's disease. So he's not in any, I wanted to think of something witty to say about how healthy he wasn't, but I couldn't. Big fail there. But so RW is strapped to this metal machine. It's got wires. It's got beeping. It's got Tesla coils. A lot over the top, like a lot of stuff in these stories tend to be. And it's got that nice red tinted chrome. And he's hooked up to it, and James is thrown in, and James comes around. He's like, oh, man, he's shaking. James Cashman shaking. And he sees RW. RW's kind of passed out, and he gets up, and he looks at him, and he holds his hands. When you're passed out, you know, in a chair, your hands are just kind of limp there. His arms are strapped down to the chair. He feels his hand, and to get tactile for a podcast, his hand is like that clammy, cold temperature that defines sickly. You know, he's alive, but you never want to touch a person and they're coldish and clammy. I mean, you're supposed to be, what, 98.5 or something inside? 98.7, 97.9, 99.8, somewhere between 97 and 99. Or probably, if you hit 99, you probably got a fever. But, you know, and you're not, normally people aren't clammy. I mean, your hands, when you handshake someone, might be clammy. Nothing to be ashamed of. A lot of people have clammy hands. But his on the outside of the top of the hand is clammy and cold. And James is just like, oh, man. You know, but RW. RW kind of looks up. His eyes are kind of cross. Oh, but a woman. Well, and then he really makes eye contact with James. And he sees his friend's face. And they haven't seen each other in a while. Oh, my best friend is here. Oh, buddy. Oh. What would they do to you, RW? What's going on? Oh, it's not what they did to me, James. It's what I did, and James, I'm sorry. I got a lot to be sorry for, the way I treated you. You're my best friend. I just want you to know. You know, we've gone through my guilt and this whole story, which is culminating right now in this tent with me being attached to this machine, and the whole hell, I don't know, but I'm sorry, okay? And you are my best friend. If there's any doubt in anything, there's no doubt. I love you, and I appreciate you. And RW, you're in terrible shape, man. Thank you. You are my best friend, too. And RW, I do love you, too, man, and I've missed you. And it's going to be okay. I don't know why you're acting so heartfelt. Part of me is touched, but I'm worried about you. Part of me is touched with worry because what did they do to you?
Oh, this is this machine here is Corbelli's little brainchild for ending hell. Or a new hell, or, you know, efficiency, I don't know. It's activating. This wonderful machine is, I don't know how many,
okay, RW, don't talk, okay. I'll try to figure out. You seem to be... The machine activates, says, do something to?
Yes.
And, it's Gorbelli's machine.
Yes.
And can you answer questions other than yes or no questions?
Yes, I can. And I will. I would love to.
And Does a machine make you a more positive person?
I guess so. Yes.
And what's the purpose of the machine?
Oh, to save humanity, James. The machine. And it just has you experience all the woe and pain you've caused other people and other things. And I've been ant squashed. I've been ant burned. I mean, I did a lot of bad things to ants when I was a young lad. I've been a terrible man. And it's I'm all bad, James. I'm all bad inside. And I'm a shell now because I'm so awful. And I'm being too mean to myself, even. I've always been too hard on myself. And, okay, don't talk anymore.
Okay, so this is going to save humanity. How?
Wait, I can't imagine I would ever do, like, I'm going to only do good, I guess. I feel afraid of causing any more pain in life, and I can't do any more bad. It makes me shamed. And
RW, okay, stop, man. So if we went back in time, well, no, if we reverse time, or you wouldn't even start your store?
Oh, no, James, I would not. Even, well, probably wouldn't leave the womb, but that's not an option. I would just be a little angel. And, I mean, not really. I'd be, well, maybe, I don't know, James. I would just not do much, stay home, help ladies cross the street. But that's so, okay.
RW, stop, okay. Okay, RW. So, you think this thing is gonna, so... This is Gorbelli's plan to replace hell. Is this thing? Does he said anything about what he put?
Anybody that dies will go through this machine and some sort of rebirth. This machine's just meant, you know, like hell. If you were going to go to hell, you'd be kind of suffering eternally, the fate. So this one, you suffer, I guess. I mean, he gave me, like, a quadruple dose, but I guess 2-3 hours on this thing, buddy. And you're cured of your foibles, I guess, or your dark side, or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know the rest of the stuff, if we're reborn, or we're supposed to tell people, or it'd be word of mouth, or he's going to put some circulars in the Sunday paper about this, but... maybe Parade Magazine will do a profile of him with the machine, and then the people will be like, oh, dear, I don't want that when I die. I don't know, buddy. But it'll work. I got no doubt about it that people will no longer do if they go through this. I'm just a shell. Okay.
Okay, buddy. It's okay. I wish I had time to think about this. It's just something's not sitting right with me.
Of course something's not sitting right with you, Mr. James Cashpenny.
Gorbelli.
Ah, yes, it is I, Hansima Gorbelli. So good to see you again.
And you got that creepy voice back on there, Gorbelli. What happened to your, logger outfit?
My logger disguise was only to make you feel more comfortable with me to bring me into hell, which I could not access because of some access issues. And then you brought me into the side of hell where I completed all my plans. How do you like your new friend R.W.? So much more loving and placid and reformed.
Yeah, this is my friend's here, but this is only part of my friend. It's like you, and look at him. He's all shriveled up, kind of.
Ah, that is merely a side effect of the process of grieving your awfulness, and he will get over it soon. So, it is all done. The angels are signing the deal now to put me in charge of new hell. I will have these machines operational, and people will come when they die. They will get processed through, and they will be reformed, and then they will come work for me.
And what do you mean, work for you?
You met all the workers at the worker village. They didn't really work for Hal. They were working for me, Mr. James Cashpenny.
And what are they going to be working for you doing?
Ha ha. They will be doing things like making sure the upkeep for the people that are coming in. They will be running all the machines on the recently dead. And they will be keeping my luxury post-life experience going for people that are passing on from Earth. They don't need to use these machines. They will be experiencing a non-death post-life wonderfulness that I will have going. I like to call it Heaven 2.0.
So you got something better than heaven.
I don't know about you, James Cashpenny, but I've never been to heaven. And I don't know how many people are going to be qualified. So, just in case, even if you think you are, you could go to maybe heaven. You could come experience the rigors of this machine, or for a small earthly sum and a little bit of soul power, I will free you from your sentence. And you can, it's a whole thing I'm working on. It's not totally developed. But it will be, because I will have an unlimited labor force.
And you told the angels all this?
Oh, yes, James Cashpenny. Those angels are under a lot of pressure. They are experiencing the thing your friend is. Fear of disappointing their leader. They want to impress him. And how could he be more impressed when he sees that all the humans, they no longer have to suffer eternally in hell? Isn't that what's bothering you, James Cashpenny, a little bit? The idea that one or two mistakes and you suffer forever? Not fair, and James, and Anselm Gorbel.
Okay, Gorbel, I get your rationalizations, okay? But you and I, don't waste my time, bro. Okay, I know you got all these bullet points or talking points. Save that for frickin' CNN or whatever the hell you're going to do to market yourself in this post-life thingamajig. I don't know. Obviously, you got the angels fooled. Maybe the big guy or whatever force. Maybe you're right, but I don't think you are, okay? And I don't see, I don't get it. Like, I've been trying to wrap my head around it for a little while. Like, are you Satan? I don't think so, but you could be. Like, you could be a tricky Satan. Or what's driving you? I mean, I know you said you're going to get some soul juice or whatever and some money. And then are you going to create an army and overthrow heaven? But if you already have a luxury heaven going, even if it's a pale imitation of heaven, it beats me. I mean, I've been in hell. That sucked in there. And the Hell Canyon's kind of dull, so it could become its own version of hell. So I just don't get, like, I get the sense that you're actually trying to save humanity. What is it?
Mr. James Cashpenny, we don't have the time, unfortunately, for me to get into it. But I tried to unlock the secret for you already. When lions are being led by lambs, remember I told you that about the trenches of World War I, and my brothers in arms suffering, and watching the men on the other side suffering the same fate, and being told to go, and if you fall, you're fallen. If you know, I can't get into the graphicness of that, James, but it's made me well aware that man cannot be trusted. I don't know how else to explain it. We can't be left to our own devices on Earth. I'm hoping that by stripping these generals, these leaders, these politicians, they don't care, man. You know that as well as I do. You know, this guy R.W., what if ants were people? He's just walking around stomping them when he was a boy. But then you become an adult, you're supposed to know better, but we never do, none of us. And if we could just see the suffering. If I could have just brought these generals for a day or two in the trench, sure they'd come and get that picture taken. On the day when it was raining or the sun was shining, or depending on the type of propaganda they were trying to produce. They didn't know what experience it was really like in there. And when they sent us in these pointless attacks and counterattacks and flank here and move here and see that teeny tiny hill, you'll lose your lives and your limbs and your soul, James Cashpenny. My soul is gone. My heart was gone on that field. Yes, I lived an entire life, but it affected me in a way that I cannot recover from. And if they could have come and seen that and seen the consequences of their actions, I truly believe there would be no war. There would be no pain and suffering, James Cashpenny. Needless. People would just live their lives out or something. I don't know, but I cannot. It is my life's quest to put an end to this thing. And you may not believe in Hans Zimmer Goldbelly, think you're Mr. Penny, so I'm so sweet I was not traumatized, or I'm beyond trauma, or I've grown. I have not grown. My wounds will not heal. And hence I must stop the wounding from wounding others. And this is my solution. Okay? So yeah, it might not be perfect. And sure, I like rich people, okay? I like luxury. And I like figuring things out and breaking the rules and stuff too. But you gotta trust me on this, man. I've looked at a lot of under... You gotta trust me at this, man. I looked at some lot of other angles. And this one is going to fix it all. Not sure things may be a little bit different. But think about it. No more war. No more. Remember the slavery and hatred and all that'll be gone. No more brothers pushing sisters. No more cousins poking cousins. No more sitting in the way back of the car and your brother's burning you with the seatbelt that's been in the sun for so long. And no more trench warfare, James Cashpenny. No more needless pain and suffering. No more pain and suffering at all at the hands of another man or woman. Okay? Kind of like your golden rule. It's just perfected. And maybe you're just jealous. But this is my life's work, and it is right. And I believe if these angels have their boss and the boss comes, God, as many have been afraid to say, or the Lord, or maybe you believe in some other facet of this, the Creator, the Mother, whatever. If she comes, if he comes and sees this, people are no longer hurting each other. What could they want more? You know? So I'm right, James Cashpenny. And you, my friend, are wrong. Or wrongish. And you need to stay out of my way, okay? Because I'm going to get you out of my way no matter what. Now, that is all I have to say. And I'm sure you have some comments to add on, so why don't you go ahead and I will give you a minute or two to comment. It will not change my mind. It will not change my mind. I was in the trenches, okay? That is where my mind was formed as a young man. As my mind grew and my knowledge grew. And I can't go on anymore, okay? I'm getting irritated because I'm sick of defending myself and you're just staring at me not saying anything because you think I'm going to run out of things to say and I don't. So I will give you a chance to speak now and then you will forever hold your peace, James Cashpenny.
Hans Zimmer Goldbelly, I've listened to everything you had to say and I hear what you're saying. You want to protect everyone. You want to protect yourself. You don't want anyone to go through what you did in the trenches of WW1. And I bet you RW didn't want his kids to go through Bright's disease. Oh, don't talk about Bright's disease. Oh, James. Okay, RW. But a lot's happened here, Hans. Now, I'm still not even sure if this is which reality I'm for. Well, I mean, the past couple weeks, past couple months, however long since I left Purgatory, It's been confusing. If I was a living human and hadn't already been to purgatory, my world would be, like, quadruply rocked. Because I'm, you know, no longer alive, so I don't have to worry about what happens when I die. I'm a little bit less freaked out, but I'm still freaked. I mean, I've been to hell, like, 3 or 4 times. Somehow hell's been nuked and erased. But listen, we're at a fork in the road now. Hell's gone. Nothing we can do about it. You've got your little hell-like machine. According to the angels, they can't get God on the God phone, or this is some giant test, or maybe this is the reality. I don't know. But the thing is, my faith isn't shaken here. Now, that might sound funny to you, Hans, because it seems like your faith was almost destroyed. And I'm not talking about religion or concrete black and white issues, Hans. I'm talking about this fork in the road. And it's a metaphor, but also it's a real thing. We could go your way and assume the worst and be proactive about assuming the worst about humanity. And there is a lot of bad. I'm not going to take that away from you. This World War I stuff is a perfect example. And the other stuff you said, racism, slavery, violence against women, all this stuff, you know, it's terrible. But Hans, man, we can't go down that road. You're kind of like, I think this whole thing that we're going through, that these people on Earth, these humans, these living people are going through, is like some free will thing. I don't get it. But I got to assume the best or the grayest, that you can go bad, you can go good. But I don't know, Hans. I'm having trouble explaining it. This is going to be more confusing, but like, not doing wrong is not good. And this whole being good crap, it's not good enough for me. All right? I'm not playing God here, Hans. But, I don't know, man. And I'm a little scared because it feels like you can't fix what's not broken? I don't know, Hans. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to listen to you, James. I'm about to destroy you. So just get to the point, and then I will eliminate you from existence. Okay, let me give you a couple examples. You got Angela. She's out there somewhere, alive. Now, if I know Angela, she tried to sneak back in here to see her old boyfriend, the bookstore guy. And yeah, I know about him. I've known about him all along. But then she had second thoughts and she wanted to help out. And then she came back again. And then she left again. And she's been trying to figure it out. But then she thought about the good times they had together. And I bet you she found him and embraced and they kissed. And now they're probably in some kind of argument about something. We can't just make a helmet to stop that and make sense of it. You can't make sense of that. And then you got Jif. Now, Jif, he was going to help us out here, right? Help me escape. Help RW escape. At least that was what I was hoping. Now, Jif, I'm just taking a gander, I guess. He came in, got a survey of your camp, looked around. He saw the wires, saw some shiny stuff, saw some people. He started counting the people, started putting things into categories and wondering about your logistics, and then started trying to think like you. And now he's like, where the hell does this guy keep his data? How this Gorbelly, how does he know how many people are dying? Where are they coming from? How many of these people are evil? What percentage of the world is rich? How many rich people die on a day? How many rich people are over this? So somewhere, he's hacking into your data, and I don't even know where you keep hell-related data. Data, whatever you call it, Hans. So, is Jif good? Is he bad? Or is he just Jif? And if there is some... if my faith, my belief... You know, I'm a big fan of the Golden Rule. do unto others as they would do unto you. But there's a lot left unsaid with that rule. And one of them is delight in other people when they're being themselves, Hans. I could almost delight in you. You're kind of, when you were the lumberjack, you weren't half bad. Now you're kind of this creepy, super mad scientist type guy. But I can see you in that trench. And I'm not delighting in your pain, but I understand it. It must have been terrible in there, cold, scary, watching people die. It's no good. So, don't you think that isn't there like a middle road we can find, Hans?
No, there is no middle road, James Cashpenny, because I'm going to eliminate you with this. Whoosh.
What the hell is that?
This is a trench knife imbued with a cosmic power, and whoever I cut with it will be rendered open inside, to be sucked inside the fabric of the universe or something, I don't know. It's got some chaos in there, and it was forged in a place where the heaven and the hell energies meet. And I met this guy, and I paid him, and he made this. He took the trench knife I use. See how it's a trench knife? They didn't even arm us properly at WW1 Trench Warfare. We made these. But anyway, it's got a grip, and so it's got, it just looks like a knife with, but see, if you look in it, see, oh, that's crazy. It's very technicolory. So I'm going to cut you with it, and you will be probably similar to when the, probably the same type of stuff they knew Kel with, right? Like, because you went back down and checked, right? Yeah, it was totally gone. There was like this void of emptiness there. All right, so you'll be sucked into the void of emptiness. So, on guard. Well, one more thing, Hans. We forgot about Mr. Hell. I'm Freddy Sprague. Freddy Sprague. I'm sure Mr. Hell, he's probably taking a nap. Or looking at something, like giggling. Because he's off of work now. Or maybe he ran into Freddy Sprague and Freddy Sprague took him with him. Because Freddy Sprague started thinking about all your wires and stuff. He's interested, and he probably figured out exactly what's going on. And he's about to shut off the machine attached to RW.
Oh, buddy, I feel great. Something just shot me full of energy. I just broke my bonds, and I'm standing up now. And RW, about to come through the roof of the tent with that hole that just shot open with a laser. Is the Horn of Jethro. Reach up your hand. And the Horn of Jethro flies through and lands in RW's hand.
Oh, this is odd.
And Reggae Freddy Sprague, the master of electric torsion, the inventor of electric torsion that runs all the subway cars of the world, is about to throw me my Biden. Boom. And the Biden, the original Hell Biden that James Cashpenny's carried near him or with him, in not a little while, because it's been in the possession of Angela Jiff and Freddy Sprague, is in James's hand. And then James does an on guard. RW, I want you to go outside. I want you to point the Horn of Jethro at those angels. If they move, obliterate them.
That is the Horn of Jethro, the most powerful weapon in the known supernatural universe.
Right. And if I don't survive this fight, RW, I'm looking at you to fix this whole mess. I don't have any idea how. But, you could start with, like, obliterating some stuff with the Horn of Jethro, particularly this clown, Hans-Emmerich Gorebelly. And then maybe just start blowing it and shooting stuff, and then someone from heaven will come down and see. You know, probably sense out. It's probably pretty loud.
All right, buddy, I'm going to go outside. And I'm going to take me some piece of angel ass.
Well, wait a second. Yeah, don't talk like that.
Well, I'm going to kick me some angel butt.
No, you don't. I just want you to point, like, threaten them.
I'm going to scare me some angel wings.
That's not even. Just go outside and keep the angels under guard, please.
You got it. My best friend. The L stuff we'll talk about, okay.
All right, go ahead, RW. And then, they start fighting, James K. Then RW goes outside the tent. Then a gust hits the tent. The tent blows away. It's standing on this plain of hell, surrounded by giants and men that are part horse and people from hell, from different, the sullen and the people, the wrathful, all sorts, every section of hell. You got professors that taught their kids lies. There's a place in hell for those, believe it or not. As a quick aside, I thought about becoming a teacher that, like, taught kids. Like, I was thinking maybe third or fourth grade, and I'd be like, all right, today we're going to cover UFOs. And, you know, a lot of times your parents tell you UFO, you know, maybe ease the kids into it, but just, you know, teach them stuff that may or may not be true, but that they shouldn't be taught as a fact. Like, UFOs would be one. Went to fourth, we had the fourth intergalactic war. Billy, who was the crown prince of Earth at that time? Like that. Okay, back to, so James Cashpenny's holding that Biden. It's gleaming a metallic red color. And Hans Zimmer Gorbelly raises his trench knife, which is dark black with the miasma. I don't know miasma is like, definitely not the right word, but, you know, a whole universe going on there, like a starry night sky. And they clash. They're fighting each other. And Hans Zimmer Gorbelly is kicking dirt, and people are cheering. And then Gorbelly's workers are coming. And back and forth, clashing this Biden. A couple times James catches the knife in the crook of the Biden. He does one of those things where he tries to throw the thing around Gorbelly's wrist and wrestle the knife away, but Gorbelly's got that trench knife, and that's the thing, like, where you stick your fingers through the handle, so you really can't knock it out of someone's hand. Really tough stuff. And then another time, Gorbelly gets in close and pop, uses the handle, hits James on the forehead, and there's a lot of, like, unnecessary somersaults and spins and leg moves, because these guys they're not real fighters. So they learn most of their stuff from TV. So their fighting moves are based on ridiculous stuff like that. But finally, Hans Zimmer Gorbelly starts to tire, because he's definitely, even though he's dead, James Cashpenny's dead. So Hans Zimmer Gorbelly starts to tire. They're battling still, and he's got Hans Zimmer Gorbelly up against his machine. They're still battling. Then James kind of backs off, and Hans Zimmer Gorbelly's breathing. Oh, Mr. Penny, no. Mr. Penny, I guess I have to surrender, and I have to say one thing, is that you win or you lose. He throws the trench knife thing, perfect shot into James Cashpenny's thigh, and the knife goes in into the hilt. James, he goes down on one knee, and then Hans Zimmer Gorbelly's like, you will never win, you are going to lose, and then you notice, like, the night sky type thing, kind of like an evil night sky. I don't know if I've ever seen an evil night sky, but slowly starts to creep from the blade into James's knee and, like, spread very slowly through his leg, very, very slowly. But you know it's not good. And James is like, oh, boy, I can feel my interstellar makeup or something breaking apart. Oh, and James stumbles towards Han, and he falls on Hans Zimmer Gorbelly, puts his hand, bested me, Gorbelly. And he'd already dropped his Biden, so he wasn't going to, like, do a quick stab with the Biden. And he goes, oh, Gorbelly, I guess we're going to have to go with your plan. And he reaches down, he grabs the, like, helmet, boom, puts it on Gorbelly's head, and Freddy, hit it. And the whole thing lights up, and then the whole sky, like the whole canyon of hell or this area, is shaking, and there's bright lights, and they're flashing different colors, like, and cool colors, like a purple flame is going above Gorbelly's head, and it's changing to unexpected colors, psychedelic style,
And Hans is like shaking. Then he starts crying and muttering to himself. And RW runs up to James. Oh, you okay, buddy? I didn't have to shoot the angels. What's going on over here? You giving him his own medicine? No, James. We switched around the... Freddy did something with the torsion or something, the electric volcanic something, and he reset it. So right now he's experiencing all his unfulfilled potential. And Gorbelli's like, oh, I've spent my life after working with just cured meats and processed food. What a waste. I could have... Why didn't I write that Broadway play? Oh, I could have had children. Oh, and then in my afterlife, I forced Princess Di. Oh, in the working at Walmart. Oh, my goodness, I've wasted so many lives. Oh, and then he starts to all sink in. He's like experiencing the ripple effect or the butterfly effect of all his, not just his bad choices, but the choices he never made, or if he had been the best Hans or Zimmer Gorbel he could have been, like what the world missed out on, not just pain, but happiness, and that is a form of pain, you know, sometimes, when, I mean, you can't look back at your life and live that way, but this is like a concentrated effect, and at some point he just passes out, and James, all right, kill it, Freddy, kill the power, and James takes, Hans Zimmer Gorbelli in his arms, and Hans, oh, and he's crying, and you know, it's like he kind of went through a 10 times more intense experience than, like, Scrooge or that guy in the Christmas movie where the angel gets his wings. Oh, well, there, Mom, Mr. Clancy, that saves the bank. I know I should know that movie, but, you know, I don't know it off the top of my head. Wonderful Life. It's Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart, I believe, maybe. But, man, I just made myself look like a jerk. But I am a jerk, okay? I don't know. No one in my family is a big fan of that movie, so I wasn't raised watching it as you judge me. Maybe you should put this helmet on. I guess maybe I should. Holy mackerel. So James has Gorbelli in his arms, and so everyone's gathering around. Like, are you okay? Oh, are you okay? So James like... I'll be okay. I'm going to be fine. And RW is down at his thigh, like tying off a tourniquet, trying to staunch the flow of this strange chaos type energy. You know, kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not quite like Walking Dead or Gangrene or Venom in Spider-Man, but like a combination of those. James, okay, everybody just stay calm. Let's all just take a rest. We beat Gorbelli. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to figure everything. I just need to rest. And, all right, buddy. And then it's like we're in a triple plutonic male holding situation here because RW is holding James Cashpenny against his chest, and then James Cashpenny is holding Hans Zimmer Gorbelli. And then the reason I'm laughing is because Mr. Halsey says, oh, Richard Warren Sears, Richard Warren Sears, you need some comfort. And Mr. Richard Warren Sears, I'm coming, buddy, I'm coming. And he runs and holds on. And then him and RW are fighting. And in that moment of those two kind of trying to assert their uncomfortableness with plutonic male-on-male intimacy, also called friendship, little code word, friendship, love. Maybe, I don't know if those two actually love each other. They might just tolerate each other, but it's a good place to stop, you know. Just a lot's happened, and, you know, we don't need to be shaken to our cores here. This is just a story, and you're probably asleep. But if you're not, I mean, I don't know what to think. I can't believe this. All this happened, and I just hope everything's going to be okay. But I know everything's going to be okay if you get some rest, okay? So just get some rest, and we'll be back soon. All right, good night.